going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
We normally do the Pettycast on Tuesdays, 8 a.m. People love the Pettycast. It was the draft last night, first day of the draft, first night of the draft last night. So there's plenty to be petty about, for sure, on something like the draft. I'll let the texters get it started here, Seth. Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer yeah. text line.
Yes.
This texter says, I'm ready to break the glass for the emergency Pettycast. Not only am I petty that the Texans didn't take anybody in the first round and let all the really good offensive line talent go off the board, that we really needed, but not only that, the magnificent Gladstone pulled Travis Hunter out of his hat, and then Tyler Warren goes to the Indianapolis Colts. So now we have to face both of those guys twice a year. I'm really yeah. petty okay. about all that. We'll be petty about this. Yep, go ahead.
Tyler Warren's gonna. Anthony Richardson is throwing him the ball. Yeah. Tyler Warren gets to show up in Indianapolis, and they'll tell him, "Whoa." Boy, we're so glad you arrived because our quarterback cannot throw the ball consistently at all, so we need easier targets for him. Enjoy the pressure, all right?
Yeah.
You're Kobe Fleener until you prove otherwise.
Yes, that's right. You're Kobe Fleener.
Travis Hunter's another story, but likewise, all right, do something with him.
Yeah.
All right, you got him. Do something with him. Hey, you know what? Travis Hunter going to the Jaguars, it's like when somebody wins the lottery. You're like, all right, let's see where you are 5 years from now.
Right,
and
right.
The majority of them end up broke, okay?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, our pettiest takes on the draft. What's your – you foreshadowed one when we brought up Mason Graham a segment ago.
Oh, I honestly – people who are only casual observers of the draft for the Patriots and the Browns, I'm guessing that – If they hadn't watched the film and hadn't watched these guys play, when you see Will Campbell walk up in his purple pinstripe suit.
It was and then green. Wasn't it green?
It was green. It was green.
Yeah.
And then you saw Mason. Both of those guys look like they could be showing up to service your something at your house.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
But they're not going to be that good at their job.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, sometimes the HVAC guy shows up and he's just like some spry guy that's hopping around the rafters in your attic and everything.
Yeah.
These are not those guys. They just don't. When J.J. Watt gets drafted and people were down on it, at the very least, J.J. Watt looks like a strapping young man.
He looked put together, yeah.
Will Campbell and Mason Graham's, the difference between how they look in a suit versus how they play on the football field. Drastic.
It's those wild.
Those are the two dopiest looking white guys to have ever gotten drafted in the top five.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
certain of it.
Yeah.
I'm certain of it.
That's
yes.
why I'm looking at Will Campbell. I'm like, I'm watching him walk up in this green pinstripe suit with the weirdest shaped body for an elite tackle I've ever seen. And I'm like,
yeah.
For all of you out there criticizing his arms that are like 2 millimeters too short for you, that's the least of your worries right now.
I can assure you this is not just this is not exclusive to me.
Yeah.
Many former NFL players shared the same thoughts with me on text
yes.
last night.
I appreciate yes. you sharing. Yes. I will say this about Will Campbell, and I know this is a petty cast, so as soon as he opens his mouth, and starts talking, I'm like, oh, I can listen to this guy talk for days.
Oh, Will Campbell?
Will Campbell, yeah.
The only thing I worry about with Will Campbell for him personally is, like, man, that dude is Louisiana.
Very.
And it's a culture shock going up to Boston or anywhere in the Northeast.
Yep.
Not to mention the weather, but especially just the culture of just being a, yeah, like that, yeah, that guy is from Louisiana.
Yeah. The thing he has going for him is that LSU fans are basically like Boston fans. With a Cajun accent, you know,
yeah,
like they're pretty intense down there. I think it'll
like
be
impossible to understand.
Right. It's just a different accent. Yeah.
That's true.
Matthew Golden, you loved his suit last night. You're petty. You are petty that we don't have Matthew Golden, in part because he is a sartorial splendor.
I'm petty because I was getting excited about the fact that Matthew Golden might fall all the way to 25. Yeah. But then he shows up wearing the suit of a 5-time All-Pro.
Yeah,
that is that dude. Boy, people say he's not a wide receiver one. I refer you to Exhibit A.
Yes,
that suit. You don't wear that suit unless you're destined for Canton. Damn it.
Where are you on guys wearing the indoor shades as they go up there to accept their flowers, getting picked 23rd overall?
Oh, I don't even give it a second thought.
Okay, I don't have a big issue with it.
Abdul Carter's outfit was interesting.
Yeah.
He looked almost kind of like Undertaker from the Old West.
Yeah,
it was a very long black coat, and I didn't know quite how to feel about it.
I liked it. I like that look. I could never pull it off, obviously. I'll tell you what. I'll save it. This is the petty cast. I'll keep petty here. But I got one guy that I really like from last night's draft, a player I really like, who I was very happy finally got picked. You mentioned the father whose kids who were clowning. You're petty about the, and I am too. I think people clowning around during the national anthem is just,
they're clowning around right in front of the camera. Yeah. I felt bad. This isn't petty. I felt bad for the dad because I don't know what you're supposed to do in that situation where, like, he might want to, you know, he wants to give him a harsh talking to, but at the same time, he's on camera as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just stuck in a bind there.
Yeah.
And especially if it was the worst possible is if it's his son, and maybe his son's a good kid, but the other two jackasses are jacking around, there's nothing the guy could do there. Maybe he's the father of the year, but his son's falling victim to the influence of his two buddies.
Josh Simmons going to Kansas City is something people are petty about.
I'm petty mostly because I feel like that was a smart move by the Chiefs. Of all, that is the classic thing the Chiefs do where, hey, we just won a Super Bowl. It's the 32nd overall pick. We've got offensive line issues. Let's take a chance on a guy that doesn't have to play right away coming off of a patellar tendon injury, but he could be a top 10 talent otherwise. So it was a really smart move by the Chiefs.
Yeah, it was a good move. It was a good move. Boy, there are people on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Multiple people. That are petty about spending 3 hours at the draft party and then having the rug pulled out from underneath them.
And
with
having
that
it rain like hell during
it.
It's pouring. Yeah, that's a boy. And I just, you know what? You should be petty towards me for, I didn't want to bring it up. And we did talk about how it was a possibility that Nick would trade back.
Oh, yeah.
But I knew in my heart that, given the way this draft is, that it was probably a more real possibility than I even allowed myself to believe.
Mm-hmm.
So be petty towards me. I should have prepared you guys for it better than I did. I just didn't want to be a Debbie Downer, you know. And I didn't want to think in that world. And ultimately the trade itself was a good trade. I know it doesn't feel that way, but if you look across at the trade value charts, the way people are grading it, you know, relatively objective outside observers are grading it as a B+ to an A- for the Texans. It was good value, the return they got. And yet, emotionally, it just sucks because you're excited about a first-round pick.
Kelvin Banks is a text. Kelvin Banks' baby acting petty about the Saints pick of Kelvin Banks. If you missed
it. Yeah, if you're a Saints fan, you're distraught over the fact that either Kelvin Banks' baby or nephew or whomever it was vomited as soon as
the moment.
As soon as the youngster found out that Kelvin Banks was going to the
moment.
Saints.
I mean, spit up everywhere. It was hysterical. Okay.
I would have told that kid, hey, you know what? The Uber fares were delightfully affordable when I was in New Orleans during the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So there you go, kid.
Yeah.
You got that to look forward
to. Kid, the first 2-month-old to ever care about rideshare. Yeah, absolutely.
It was kind of weird having a heavy military presence on every corner. But other than that, it was a great New Orleans experience.
Very uplifting, yeah.
Dude, when you're strolling through the French Quarter and it feels like I'm in The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah. It was. What was the most uplifting part of the French Quarter? The streets that only had 6 soldiers on it. Yeah.
It was.
It was wild.
You know what? I think it made for fewer people urinating on the sides of buildings as I was walking past. So,
oh my God. Where are you on Jackson Dart? Because I think he's got a punchable face.
Oh, he's got a... This is the old school baseball scout in me, and I tweeted this last night. If I were an old school baseball scout from the movie Moneyball, I would take one look at those glasses and kick him out of the building. Like, for one, you're a quarterback wearing glasses, son.
Yeah.
You don't show anybody you got vision issues. And second, your selection in glasses. You look like a school marm.
Those are the same glasses CJ wears. You know, CJ wears glasses sometimes. But
I'm not a big fan of it either.
Okay. Well, no, some guys can pull off the look and some guys can't. You know,
I don't like my quarterback wearing glasses.
Okay.
I don't like it. I don't know. That's the old school irrational baseball scout in me. All right. Keep your contacts in, that is a little irrational. You got to be eagle eye, man. Perception is reality in some cases. Yeah.
Someone weighs in. How about Jackson Dart's smoking hot mom? His mom is a smoke show.
I didn't notice.
Yeah, yeah.
I can say that genuinely. I didn't notice.
Yeah, okay. No, it was. Yeah, she was. I'm assuming it was his mom.
Dude, I don't know. But you know what? The problem is, I realize I've gotten to an age where a lot of these kids' moms, I'm like, they're younger than me.
Right.
And I don't think of them as the moms. That can't be the mom.
I find a lot more of them attractive these days, you know, like that's probably a function.
Real
of
quick
age.
Story.
Yeah.
My senior year in college, there was a freshman on the team. And on the first day, there's kind of like, you do the team picture and a lot of the parents are still sticking around while they're dropping kids off and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And this kid's mom was so hot. And this poor freshman. Yeah, I don't think he lasted past his freshman year. I don't think he could take all the guys openly lusting after his mother.
How many?
And telling them all about what they were going to do to his
How many mom. Guys ended up sleeping with her?
None.
None? Okay. Well, that's the
answer. She was a lady of fine virtue.
That's fine. I mean, it's not like we gave out her name or anything like that. You know, it's.
That's another thing as a rookie, though, by the way. As a rookie, when you're out at training camp and all the players' wives are out there, you like learn real quickly, like, all right, eyes down.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the players' wives are out there. And
they're in your age bracket.
A lot of the players have done well for themselves.
That's right. Someone says, draft party was cool. ... until it wasn't.
Yeah,
it's too bad.
Honestly, look, it's like going to watch a great movie that has a tragic ending. Mm-hmm. If you're at the draft party, it had everything you wanted right up till the climax.
Yeah.
I mean, it brought you right to the brink, and then the main character got stabbed in the heart.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, the good news is he's resurrected today with the 34th overall pick. Come on, people.
Oh, yeah, no, they brought back Frank Stallone to play Rocky.
Fair.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. That's what it feels like.
That's a good analogy right there.
Rocky 7. Frank Stallone takes care of business.
Frank Stallone's redemption. As long as we're doing the petty cast, this is possibly the most petty exchange in the history of the NFL draft.
Nice.
This is in 1994. The 1994 draft, Mel Kiper, rising star at ESPN, is there on the set 30 years ago and absolutely crushes the Indianapolis Colts, who needed a quarterback at the time, for taking Trev Alberts at 5 instead of taking Trent Dilfer at 5. Here was Mel Kiper Jr.
You got a problem with this move?
I think it's a typical Colt move. I mean, here's a team that needed a franchise quarterback. There were two out there. They have a chance at two. They don't take them. They end up coming back into the picture to get Trent Dilfer. They take an outside linebacker. Not even a true outside linebacker. Somebody has to learn coverage in Trev Alberts. They have Coriot. They have Harad. They do have a hole that developed with the release of Dwayne Bickett. But to pass up a Trent Dilfer when all you have is Jim Harbaugh, give me a break. That's why the Colts are picking second every year in the draft, not battling for the Super Bowl like other clubs in the National Football League.
There's a lot of people that are still very relevant in the world of football that are talked about in that clip. Jim Harbaugh, Trent Dilfer, who is a ratchet college coach these days at UAB.
but had a nice career for himself.
He won a Super Bowl.
He
won a Super Bowl. I mean,
he had a nice career given his, relatively, he's just a guy.
They cannot
turn the ball over while the defense takes care of business.
So that was Mel Kiper Jr., and the GM of the Colts at the time was a guy named Bill Tobin, who responded proportionally to Mel Kiper's criticism on the ESPN broadcast.
One question, Bill. A lot of criticism about not taking a quarterback here. Your response?
Well, you know, we got a guy up there. Who in the hell is Mel Kiper, in a way?
I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take. In my knowledge of him, he's never ever put on a jock strap. He's never been a coach. He's never been a scout. He's never been an administrator. And all of a sudden, he's an expert. He's in our papers 2 days ago telling us who we have to take. We don't have to take anybody that Mel Kiper says we have to take. Mel Kiper has no more credentials to do what he's doing than my neighbor, and my neighbor's a postman, and he doesn't even have season tickets to the NFL.
Oh, good one. Oh, oh, that's a shot across
the bow.
What
if I told you that Trev Alberts is going to go on to start 7 games in 3 years for us?
Is that what it was?
Yes.
God, he was a major bust. It was
his entire NFL career was 3 years with the Colts.
Wow, wow.
He started 7 games total.
It feels like more because he wound up on ESPN in that.
Yeah.
In what ended up being, he was like the Kirk Herbstreit of ESPN for a while, the main college football. And now he's the AD.
But a horrible NFL player.
Horrible NFL player. Yeah, horrible. He had injuries too. I know that. But yes, not a good NFL player. So there you go. The pettiest exchange in the history of the NFL draft: Kiper and Tobin. I've got another petty here, Seth. Non-football. Steve Kerr, oh God, you're the worst, Steve Kerr. You're awful. Steve Kerr, you know, the Rocket fans were chanting F.U. Draymond the other night at the game.
Yeah,
Steve Kerr didn't like that.
It's not ideal when a crowd is, you know, chanting F.U. Draymond. It's just, I don't know. I mean, it did in Boston a few years ago in the finals. It is what it is. Draymond's, he's been around forever. You know, he's an instigator. He's always going to be in the mix. And because of his career, his championships, his fire, he's going to be a lightning rod. And that's all part of it. I would prefer, you know, if fans could use a little more discretion and, you know, remember that, you know, the guy has kids and, you know, it's like there's kids.
Oh,
I don't know.
Oh,
I
just, come on.
Maybe I'm old school, but I'm all for the fans cheering for their team. And if they want to yell at the opponents, great. But I don't know. I just think FU is it's a little much.
I get annoyed because I would prefer that people not use like that level of profanity on chants.
Dude,
choose your battles. Like, it's Draymond Green. Draymond Green has done this to himself. Steve Kerr, and you know it.
Yeah.
You know it.
Yeah.
You absolutely know it. Draymond Green continually gets away with being one of the scummiest players in all of sports, and he's on your team, and you've harbored him. Maybe you do something about him kicking people in the junk, okay?
Yeah.
Maybe Draymond doesn't conduct himself the way he's conducted himself his entire career, and then you wouldn't have to be getting up there and standing up for poor old Draymond, you know? Like, Draymond has zero responsibility in this leading to the situation that he faces in various venues.
He has kids.
His kids.
He has kids. That was one that was a point where I'm like, all right, stop it. Just stop. You're sticking
Noble Steve Kerr.
You're sticking up for Draymond Green, the biggest disease in the NBA.
Not to mention these idiot Warriors fans who are so out of their brains because they've been microdosing LSD for so long as they program their computers that somehow think that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
That somehow think the Rockets are dirty, and that somehow the laws of gravity and momentum don't apply. That it wasn't just bad luck that your player got injured.
That's right.
You know, like it just the Warriors fans are the worst. Steve Kerr is the worst. They need to die. They need to die.
Draymond too.
What's that?
Draymond.
But because of that, because this is a fan base that has stuck up for Draymond for 10 years, and now all of a sudden they're trying to play the victim.
Right.
You're trying to play the victim now?
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
We're not even being petty. We're just right on this one. This is not even being petty. I think most of the sane world would agree with us on this take.
This is like if Hitler had the balls to stay alive and had to stand trial at Nuremberg, getting up and saying, like, I'm a victim of circumstances, you see. Oh.
It's a great German accent.
Oh.
All right.
Mommy didn't love me.
I put up a poll last night. This is for Texan fans. Each of the AFC South teams here, non-Texans, each made a very noteworthy draft pick last night, actually. They all drafted All-Americans last night. Cam Ward to the Titans, Travis Hunter to the Jags, Tyler Warren to the Colts. Which of those rookies are you most concerned about having to face twice a season for the next handful of years? Put up a poll. What did the people say? Curious what Seth has to say about it as well. We will do that coming up next. Payne and Pendergast with you. We are rolling through the draft today. Draft heavy. We'll hit a little Rockets later on this hour. They're back at it. Game 3. Against the Golden State Warriors tomorrow night in San Francisco. We've got Take-A-Mania at the top of the hour, the bad takes of the week, trying to take down Deion Sanders. Tease for that, Deion Sanders is going to try to take down Deion Sanders this week. He's had so many bad takes lately, he's fighting himself in one of the bouts at the top of the hour.
Have we heard from Deion at all other than the commercials that were playing heavily last night?
Not that I've seen. In response to Shadur falling to the second round, you mean? No, I've not seen anything from Deion. You know, the funny thing last night, Seth, was that ESPN had been running a promo, you know, for the last week or two or however long leading up to last night's coverage of the draft. It was very Shadur-centric, you know, showing highlights of Shadur and showing Shadur doing things off the field, you know, showing off all his swag and everything like that. And at the very end, he says, you know, it's going to be legendary. And they flash up the graphic, day one, draft, 6 p.m. Eastern, ESPN. And after the draft was over last night, I was staying up and watching SportsCenter and whatnot. And during one of the breaks, they ran the exact same promo, but they just changed it to day two, ESPN 2, 5:30 Eastern. They just changed same commercial, change the graphic up to and including Shadur talking about how legendary he is.
It's absolutely the best thing that could have happened for the broadcasters is for Shadur to slide
for
in
tonight.
Too.
That
is a huge mega story. Yep. The second and third rounds become very quickly. You realize as you get into it, like, let me do some research on this guy. If you're watching and you're not plugged in super hardcore to the draft. So this is actually very, very notable.
Yeah.
Those dirty network executives are probably hoping he slides to the third round.
Oh, hell yeah. Keep people around all night. Well, there's only been, what did I see the numbers? There's only been one quarterback drafted in the second round over the last three drafts. Will Levis is the only quarterback to be drafted in the second round. You know, there were several third, but so is that a trend? Like, do people just say, all right, well, it's Shadur, and then there's, you know, it's Jalen Milroe.
But if you're not, you're either good enough to take a shot on the first round, but otherwise we got to get down to business and draft some guys that can contribute immediately.
That's not a small body of work. That's three drafts worth of quarterbacks that the teams have just said.
I guess the difference would be that in those drafts, he also had quite a few guys going in the first round at times.
Yeah.
So I guess,
I think it's just an interesting fact. If you'd asked me how many quarterbacks have been drafted in the second round over the last 3 years, I would have said, I don't know, six, you know, two each draft. I have no idea.
So you're pretty sure he's not going to go to the Browns, and then after that, we'll see how it all plays out.
Yeah, we'll see. And, teams may move up to get him.
It's the problem with Shadur is that Shadur doesn't shy away from, kind of fueling the whatever controversy or scuttlebutt or whatever there might be. And it, with guys like that, when you're bringing in a guy who's not going to be a starter, there's a higher bar that they want to have in terms of how you're going to fit on the team. And I think there's a lot of teams that obviously have questions about that.
Yeah, the part of the draft where someone would be worth the maybe attention drawing stuff that Shadur does is come and gone.
You're the self-proclaimed changer of cultures.
Yeah.
But you're coming in as a late second round pick.
Yeah.
That it's not going to start right away. And yet you are the self-proclaimed tone setter to teach these men how to act like men, damn it.
Yeah. And oh, by the way, you have a helicopter dad. You know, you got that comes with it. I think a lot of last night is a referendum as much on Deion as it is on Shadur, in my opinion.
Deion's got a little bit of just that. I think Deion doesn't understand that the way he operated worked because he's one of the greatest defensive backs who ever played the game. It doesn't work if you're a guy of marginal talent or prospects.
He's writing checks with his mouth that Shadur has to cash.
Yeah,
and Shadur doesn't have the talent to cash those checks. All right, Pender Pull.
Like the kid. Shadur's like the kid on the little league team, and the father's the coach and makes him the pitcher every time.
Or shortstop. Always played shortstop. All right, Pender Pull for Texan fans. Seth, hopefully you haven't looked at this yet because I love it when you guess. Okay. Which of the new rookies in the AFC South are Texan fans most concerned with having to face twice a season? Cam Ward, drafted number one overall by the Titans. Travis Hunter, Jacksonville traded up from 5 to 2 to draft him. And then Tyler Warren, drafted 14th overall, the tight end out of Penn State by the Colts.
All right, this is going to be a tough one. It's always hard when there's three candidates for me to nail the percentages, but I think Travis Hunter is going to win it by what amount? People still remember Vince Young coming in as a rookie with the Titans and doing a lot of damage, so maybe some people are going to vote Cam Ward because of that. I think Travis Hunter wins this getting 73% of the votes.
No, your spidey sense is a little off on this one. Tyler Warren is the winner on this
won
one.
Won it.
Tyler Warren, well, he's winning. It's still open if people want to vote. I put it up last night. As of right now, Tyler, it's very close. Tyler Warren, 42.6%. Travis Hunter, 41.4%. So it's a dead heat between those two. And then Cam Ward is fairly far back at 16%. It's pretty funny that the quarterback, I guess it stands to reason. I mean, there's a better chance that Cam Ward is a bust than these other two guys, just based on the bust factor of highly drafted quarterbacks. But it sounds like yours would be. Travis Hunter, just based on what you think maybe the masses would say. But what is yours in that?
Mine is still Travis Hunter.
Yeah,
I think that now Cam Ward, with any rookie quarterback who has elite physical traits, I worry about his ability on any given Sunday to show that those show up. Anthony Richardson. I think Anthony Richardson is a horrendous NFL quarterback, as evidenced by his 50% completion percentage, and yet we know that on any given Sunday, he can absolutely destroy you because he's capable of great things. Cam Ward likewise. Okay, there's going to be throws that he makes that he shouldn't make. And he's going to have a game where he has four or five interceptions this year. But he's also going to have a few games where he just absolutely goes off.
Mm-hmm.
So I get nervous about Cam Ward in that regard. But I think Travis Hunter. Travis Hunter, just because the potential for him to just put on displays of extreme, I would say showmanship, but that's not his personality. Just extremely rare athletic ability.
Yeah.
And if he's doing it on both sides of the ball, it just adds a dynamic to game planning against the Jaguars that's really, really hard to account for.
Your answer is Travis Hunter. My answer is Travis Hunter as well. What's the case? If you had to make a case for Tyler Warren, who's winning this poll right now, what would it be?
I think at least part of it. Okay, if I have to, first let me explain maybe where some of the psychology is. I think a lot of people had fantasies in their minds of the Texans in a surprise move trading up for Tyler Warren.
I did.
Or that somehow Tyler Warren would fall to the Texans. Hey, and when Loveland's the first tight end off the board last night, you start wondering, like, I don't know. Maybe there's something good about it. Maybe Tyler Warren's got maybe he's got issues at home that ultimately drive him down, but can be overcome. You know? You kind of hope they're like, I don't know, he's got some kind of an issue. I just don't get it, just because he's stepping into a horrific situation and having a quarterback who's either going to be Anthony Richardson or Daniel Jones. And the tight end isn't the guy that's going to absolutely crush you if the quarterback's incapable of throwing the ball consistently to anybody.
Yeah.
If the Colts want to turn this into a dink and dunk offense, then by all means, let them.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Warren might break a few big ones here and there, but he's not going to be as much of a menace and a threat on a down by down basis as potentially Travis Hunter or Cam Ward. Plus, you got to remember too that Hunter, if he's playing more wide receiver than defensive back, he's paired up with another really good young wide receiver.
Brian Thomas Jr.'s name should have come up by now. You're right.
That situation is as good as it could possibly be for Trevor Lawrence.
Yep.
I'm not convinced that Trevor Lawrence is actually a really good NFL quarterback, but I flat out know that Anthony Richardson isn't.
Yeah. Some explanations on the text page. Texans suck at covering tight ends. That's a text message from Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Well, and furthermore, this is a different texter, but same point. Texan fans are concerned because Travis Kelce's given the Texans defense issues even at an old age.
Yeah.
So what would Tyler Warren do? Yeah. Those are, I mean, they're all good players. Like they're
touché.
There's not a bad answer. I'll tell you what I'm excited about with Travis Hunter, especially he's going to be used on both sides of the ball, and it would appear that he's going to. In fact, let's play, Ben, if we could, let's play Gladstone here. This is Gladstone when he was asked about the F them picks mentality with the Rams, where they would trade major draft capital to make big moves like he did last night.
I probably got some familiarity with the them picks sort of process. So for our fans, I'll tell you, don't be scared. This is something I'm uniquely positioned to navigate. And we ended up bringing Travis Hunter to Jacksonville. And with that, he is somebody who is deserving of a first-round draft pick as a wide receiver, and he is worthy of a first-round draft pick as a corner. Certainly look forward to each of those elements showing themselves over the next few years while he's under his rookie contract. But, we're excited about just getting him in the boat, so to speak.
Multiple people have reached out to me via text this morning and said he sounds stoned, the magical Gladstone today, or the magnificent Gladstone.
Oh, yeah, he's got a little bit of that, yeah.
Amy's like,
yeah.
Amy texted me, she's like, he sounds like Spicoli from Fast Times at Ridgemont, Iowa.
I tell you what, honestly, the part that I was kind of surprised about where he said that I'm uniquely, what did he say, situated?
To navigate the situation. Navigate was the word you're probably trying to think. He's uniquely qualified to navigate the situation.
Qualified was the word I was looking for.
Gotcha.
Okay, so uniquely qualified to navigate the situation. That would almost be like if Nick Caserio had showed up and in one of the first moves he made, that now, like, what his first draft pick was Davis Mills. But, okay.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
What if Casario gotten up and said, like, well, you know, a lot of people scoff at drafting a quarterback in the third round with your first pick. But look, I was in the organization that had Tom Brady, who became one of the best quarterbacks of all time.
He'd have gotten crushed.
I am uniquely positioned and qualified to make a pick such as this.
He'd have gotten crushed, and I think a lot of would have been because Jack Easterby was still in the building at that time.
Plus he wouldn't have said that.
No.
You know, like he wouldn't have said. Jack Easterby was in the building, but he also, like, Casario tries really hard to not make it about himself.
Yeah.
Gladstone was kind of like, hey, don't worry, I'm in charge now.
But the reason I bring up that he would get crushed is everybody in Jacksonville seems to be lapping up everything Gladstone is saying. Like, I don't think they gave one crap that he's bringing up the Rams last night. Like, they love him there. Right.
You know? I think it's a good move by the Jaguars. I don't begrudge them one bit. It was a bold move for a very unique player, and they have a GM who's uniquely qualified to do it.
You and I both like the Will Anderson trade. I think if you like the Will Anderson trade, then it's hard to criticize the Travis Hunter trade. They're the same trade almost.
The Will Anderson trade was more criticizable because one of the biggest assets for Will Anderson was very much about the intangibles.
Yeah.
And he wasn't the same caliber of unique physical specimen and football player in college that Travis Hunter was.
Yeah, nobody.
So that's that's a lot to give up for. At the time, Will Anderson, remember, like, Will Anderson was very, very raw as a pass rusher.
You and I were having conversations about drafting Tyree Wilson instead of him 2 days before the draft.
Because Tyree Wilson did some of the defensive end things. He had more polished technique than Will Anderson did. So there was still some projection with Will Anderson. The thing that really put him over the top was all of the intangibles. And that's something that we as fans can't see and also get tired of hearing about because every coach is gushing about the intangibles of various guys.
Yep.
Half of whom end up being bums.
Yep. Keep texting in takes on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. A lot of people weighing in. We're going to get back to the Texans and what they did last night. Let's touch on the Rockets here real quick in the next segment. They play the Warriors tomorrow. Turns out C.J. Stroud had some really good analysis on Jalen Green from game one to game two. C.J. Stroud showing off his basketball chops. We've got that for you coming up next. All right, we'll circle back to the draft. We'll read some more of your texts. Keep texting in your thoughts on last night. Texans move out of the first round. They've got 5 picks tonight, which is the beginning of a very exciting weekend. 5 picks tonight, got a few picks tomorrow. You got the Rockets game 3. Meanwhile, in the background, the Astros are playing the Royals. So this is a good time. It's a good weekend. We've not touched much on the Rockets here. This is an important pivotal game 3. And have we? I've not seen any news, Seth, about Jimmy Butler and the MRI. Have you seen anything on Jimmy Butler yet?
I had searched early this morning, and I hadn't. So, and I'm guessing the Warriors are going to keep this as close to the vest as humanly possible.
Yep.
So I doubt we hear anything substantial until right before the game.
Game time decision. Yeah, I could see that. C.J. Stroud actually had takes on the Rockets. He was at the first game, the loss, the 95-85 loss to the Warriors in game one. And he had this to say back on Monday, the day after that loss, about the Rockets' first playoff game, comparing it to his own experience of his first playoff game against Cleveland.
I'm excited to see them, you know, in this game too. But I definitely, just to see, you know, Houston live, like I remember my first playoff game here, you know, against the Browns was like cracking. It was like turning. It was like that in there. The crowd was just ready just to roll. And, you know, it takes time for young guys. And, you know, me being a young dude, I know it's a different sport, but it's the same type of environment. It takes a little adjusting. The court look a little different. For us, the field looks different. The stands, the lights a little brighter. And it just takes time to get adjusted. The speed is a little more. and, you know, you're playing against some of your childhood favorite players. Like, for me, it was going against Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward. It's like, damn, I'm really going against some legends.
Okay, now, CJ played really well against those legends. He had the greatest rookie game in the history of the playoffs. Jalen Green answering the question after game two, because Jalen Green had an outstanding game two. He was terrific. He shot 8 of 18 from three, scored 38 points. He was the big reason they won that game. Jalen Green was asked about the first game jitters, and his answer mirrored a lot of what CJ had to say.
It was more so mindset. But yeah, that first game, you know, the lights were bright. The crowd was here. The court looked huge. So, yeah, I couldn't really get a chance to, you know, settle in. My legs was a little shaky. But, you know, that's part of it. Went through it, and, you know, I feel like I did a good job answering back.
Yeah, he just always sounds so hyped up and like Will Anderson.
I only got three words in. The look on Seth's face is outstanding.
I have a hard time listening to Jalen. I think that that's natural. I felt it was a little bit different in that Jalen Green has played against all these guys before. It's not like he's awed by playing against legends or anything. He's done it many, many times in the last few years. And yet, being in that environment and in the NBA playoffs for the first time, yeah, the difference between game one and game two is notable. So if hopefully that's all it was, and then the extra time between games for him to work on the film study and anticipate what he might see, they just got to do that again. So that part, so far, so good.
Yep.
Yeah, he got the – now this will be the first time he's in a playoff game
on the road
at Golden State.
Yeah.
Not just on the road, but at Golden State with a fan base that's convinced that Amen Thompson is the worst, the dirtiest player who ever played the game. And they believe that, well, Draymond Green is on the same court. But they feel like Amen Thompson, it's just unconscionable that Amen Thompson would fall down when he had his legs knocked from underneath him and he was getting pushed forward.
By two large human beings.
Draymond Green. Somehow that's way dirtier than Draymond Green kicking 78 different NBA players in the Nargs.
Right. No, it's a very measured and rational fan base, Golden State, for sure.
By the way, real quick, so there's kind of some cryptic news about Jimmy Butler's health. Now, this is, it feels to me, when I read this, sometimes you're watching a movie and a couple characters are having a dialogue and you feel like, all right, I know, I'm supposed to know what these guys are actually saying, but I can't tell. Like, somebody gives a look, and you're like, does that mean he's scared?
Yeah,
or he agrees, or
is
what?
Is he with them, or is he with
them? And I kind of feel like, okay, maybe I'm just not an adult yet, that I don't get these things. But this is what Mark Spears says, that his agent texted him. His agent texted him and said,
"This is Butler's
Jimmy
agent?
Butler, sorry. Yeah. Jimmy Butler's agent texted him and said, pray for the bear. And that he interpreted as optimism about the injury status.
Really? Oh, see, assuming the bear is Jimmy Butler, which I've never heard him called that before, but whatever. I would take that as pessimism.
That's like what I thought. Okay, yeah. So yeah, Bernie Lee, Jimmy Butler's agent, texted me saying, pray for the bear. That tells me that's some optimism for Jimmy. I don't, like, am I still a child? Do I not understand the things that are unsaid, but the implications? I don't think that it says one thing one way or the other. I'm with you. That feels more pessimistic. Like, pray for the bear. That sounds like he's dying.
That's something you'd say if somebody got into a car accident or something like that, you know? I'm not a huge Mark Spears guy, so I'm not big surprised that you and I are having trouble interpreting this, but whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's all.
I interpret it as pessimism.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, which gives me optimism.
Yeah.
Because I make no apologies. I don't know. Nope. Look, Rockets lost Chris Paul. Probably would have won the series with Chris Paul. And that's the end of it. Sometimes you lose one of your best players.
Yeah. I'm not even going to say I hope that that Jimmy Butler's lower spine is, you know, pulverized into 25. Just whatever it is, I just want him to miss this series. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't care. It can be a minor bruise. As long as he misses the games, then I'm good. The one last one from CJ. Good job, CJ, with pointing out the all the bright lights in big city that comes with the playoffs. He also was pretty accurate on his prediction as to what would happen in game two.
For them to like keep it that close and go, like, I think they were like 4 for 20-something for shooting. Like, they'll find their shot, in my opinion. I think they'll be fine. And I think Jalen's gonna take over, and my man's gonna get warm. And, you know, Sengun, he nice. So I love the whole team. I love Fred nice. Like, I love Jabari. Like, all they all are to me. So, yeah, right. I'm excited to watch.
There you go. He nailed it, man.
And it worked out. Yeah,
worked out.
He got warm.
Yep.
He got warm.
He get warm.
Fred VanVleet wasn't that nice, but he was nicer, I guess.
He's nicer in that he didn't shoot as much. But, yeah.
Right, yeah. He acknowledged his own coldness, and that was nice.
That was nice. Text message back to the Texans here. You know the Texans effed up by trading out of the first round when we're glorifying the AFC South opponents' draft picks and talking about who scares us the most. I'm turning on Caserio. This texter says, turning on him. I would say...
Look, honestly, though, this is... And I don't mean... Look, yes, on average, you've got a better chance of getting a good player at 25 than you do at 34. But if you thought that only the good impact players can be found at pick 25 and there are no good impact players at 34... I just question how long you've actually been watching football.
Yeah.
Like, that's... And he got extra... draft capital back. They won by the trade value charts. The Texans won that trade. Like, it was a good trade, and they still get to pick high in the second round. This is not like the DeAndre Hopkins trade,
right,
where you're trying to justify it with the fact that you got, hey, we got a second round pick back. Like, no, this is, you move down a few spots and you got more assets back, and that it's not a markedly huge difference between 25 and 34.
Yes, 100%. I am way less upset. I'm not upset at all about moving back. Zero. Like, moving back from 25 to 34 to get a couple extra picks, totally cool with. I'm upset because there were players that I really liked that got well within what would feel like striking range for a trade up. So I'm upset that they didn't get those. I'm not upset at Nick because we don't know what teams were asking for in those trades. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I know he was calling those teams if he liked those players. Now, the other thing, too, is we don't know what his evaluation was. We don't know what his evaluation was on Matthew Golden. That's my guy I wanted. He may be 38th on their board. I have no idea. Not 25th or whatever he would have needed to have been for them to have taken him. So I am upset because they got so close to getting at least one guy, if not a couple, that I really wanted for this team.
Yeah.
And the offense, and the other thing, too, and you've pointed this out very astutely a few times today, is that it does feel like once they traded out of 25, that the bin of offensive linemen that we were excited about for this team possibly emptied in between 25 and the end of the day yesterday with Connerly and Simmons going off the board. It does feel like perception, and I'm no film guru or anything, I'm just talking about the grades that we see on all these players. There feels like there's a big drop-off after Simmons on the offensive line.
No, and I think the thing is that it all depends, too, on how aggressively did you want to trade up for those guys.
Yeah.
That if, like, Nick just wasn't in love with them as much as he might have been in love with Will Anderson, obviously, that he didn't want to super aggressively trade up and he felt like there was just better value in the second and third rounds. Now he's got to deliver on that.
He's got to
make
good
some
guys.
Good picks on the second and third rounds. We've got good recent history with that.
Mm-hmm.
So... I think by and large, you're upset because you wanted to get one of those guys that were, you know, mostly consensus first round picks. They had name brand appeal, and Nick wasn't going to spend whatever it took to get up. When people say Nick failed to trade up because he tried and couldn't do it, he could have traded up to almost anywhere he wanted, depending on how ridiculously outrageous the price tag was.
That's right.
He chose that it just wasn't a good move, and he didn't love those guys that much. I don't looking. You might fall in love with them hoes. I don't.
Right.
I don't love these hoes.
Right.
And Nick, I love them, leave them.
Right.
I don't bleep and need them.
Nick didn't love them hoes either. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Take-A-Mania, the reigning champion, Deion Sanders. This actually plays perfectly into draft talk. Reigning champion in the bad take. Championship is Deion Sanders on retiring jerseys. Deion is part of the challengers to Deion today as well. We've got a few more that we'll get to. Take-A-Mania. We do it every Friday at 9. We do it next.